It's time for slam.
We back.
Back with another episode of the Highline Podcast. By the voice you can tell, it's me. Voice of reason, voice of truth. Man who speaks the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth. Is Fee, and with me is, he's back again. Oh my God, what happened to Verge?
Happened again.
Welcome back to work, man. Thanks for coming on such short notice. This episode of the pod is like 4 days late. My apologies. I couldn't drop it on Monday because it was Thanksgiving and I got so busy. And then the past few days I've had work, plus I've had an exam to prepare for. So my bad. But
and he has had to visit his Jesus shrine.
But yeah, man, yo, there was no way I was gonna let this week pass without dropping an episode because I need to get some shit off my chest. I need to get some stuff off my chest. But yeah, let's get straight into it, man. Arsenal 3, Liverpool 2. The statement win so many people have been waiting for from Arsenal, given the fact that we had already won Spurs 3-1 the week earlier. But before I get into what I want to delve into, Duak, what did you make of the game? And what have you made of Arsenal so far this season?
They've been, like, what can you really say? Like, they've been very good. They've been professional. They've been entertaining. And they've been together. Like, they're playing for each other. You can see, like, it's like every player on the team has, like, leadership qualities. And they're ambitious, basically. And it's just a together team. I don't know how to explain it. Like, you can see, like, they're vibrant. Everyone is happy. It's sad to see. I won't even lie. And
How can a United team be sad to see? Like, sorry, not United, but how can a team in unity be sad to see?
Because it's Arsenal. That's just what it is. Yeah.
Oh my God. First of all, like, I couldn't even watch the game. I was stuck at work. But checked the score. We won 3-2, and then I came back home, sat down, and watched the full 90 all over again. I want to give a couple people shout-outs. Saka, I mean, I've spoken about Saka like too many times. I don't think I have any words to describe him again. Ridiculous player. Actually, last week I said Martinelli was the most improved player in the Premier League. And today, I'd like to change that statement. As of now, game week 9 matches played in the Premier League, Martinelli has been the best left winger in the Premier League this season. I think from a numbers aspect, I think he has 3 or 4 goals. I think he has 6 or 7 goal contributions. He has, he's completed the most dribbles in the Premier League. In terms of chance creation, him, Jesus, and Saka top the charts in terms of chance creation at Arsenal, not just at Arsenal, but in the Premier League as well. So, what a game by Martinelli. The most scripted thing to happen was Martinelli was going to get ruined by Trent, and Trent couldn't last more than 45 minutes.
I don't think that was possible. I feel like if you're an objective goal fan, you can't really like have expected or gone into that game expecting Trent to have a good game.
Exactly.
I wasn't expecting him to have a good game against Martinelli.
Exactly. Exactly. The type of winger who's going to constantly 1v1 you, regardless of whether you like it or not. And some, I agree, it doesn't look pretty, but he gets the job done. I don't care how pretty it looks, as far as he gets the job done. Jesus as well, he didn't score, but his all-round performance, as usual, fantastic.
Like usual.
Odegaard, the weight of the pass. The weight of the pass for Martinelli's first goal was just perfect. Like, that was Ozil-esque from him. And then for me, the best chess move of the game was Arteta putting Tomiyasu at left back to deal with Mohamed Salah. Completely nullified whatever threat he brought to the table. VVD was trying those switches to the right hand side consistently, and he was dealing with it. When I saw the lineup, I was like, Teta, where's all this tweaking? Just keep things straight. But nope, he knew what he was doing. Tomiyasu as well. He needs more respect on his name. Bro, he can fit in anywhere across the back three. Plays at left center back for Japan. Plays comfortably at right back for Arsenal. Put him at left back against one of the most dangerous players, not just in the league, but in the world of football. And he totally...
Not right now, though. Not right now.
Oh, please. No, I'm
not saying he didn't have a good game, but like I feel like Salah is like
just saying that was Salah it.
And Salah and a lot of Liverpool players are having like bad seasons.
But that was a statement win for Arsenal. One number two, I know like I said this to Welly and he thought I was mocking them, but Liverpool were by no means bad on Sunday. I think that's the more reason I'm excited for this victory, because Liverpool actually played really well. The switch up information, two in the middle with Thiago and Henderson, even though I don't think Henderson had a great game. Thiago, Henderson, Luis Diaz, Nunes, Jota, and Salah. I thought they played, especially after they scored in the first half, I thought they dominated proceedings to leading towards halftime up until we scored on the break. I think that's the best they've played in the Premier League, obviously, aside beating Bournemouth 9-0. And that's what made me more excited about the fixture, not the fact that we didn't get to play the Liverpool team that, you know, Brighton played and who didn't play well. Liverpool actually played well. Thiago makes the difference in their midfield. What's wrong with you? Thiago makes the difference in their midfield. Okay, let's talk about the refereeing decisions, because I saw a lot of people saying Arsenal were lucky to win that game. Arsenal were lucky to see. I don't believe that. I believe Arsenal came.
I believe Arsenal came into
that game smelling blood in the water and just went after it like piranhas, bro. Because Liverpool had an XG of 0.89. That's lowest XG ever accumulated in Jurgen Klopp's 7 years as a Liverpool manager. I think they gave up 49 touches in their box to us. Arsenal have 49 touches in the Liverpool's box. And that's the second most they've conceded since the Man City team in November 2018, in the 18-19 season. So Arsenal, especially in the second half, we dominated proceedings. Right before Firmino equalized, Odegaard had the chance clean on through on goal to put Arsenal 3-1 up. But somebody said Odegaard shoots as if he accidentally pressed O. And so, like, he wasn't fully...
It's a mistake. It's like a mistake.
But, you know, I also love the mentality as well. Arsenal showed to continue bouncing back after Liverpool responded with an equalizer. We could see that previous Arsenal teams of the past would have folded. I'm just... Bro, Ben White. I need to talk about Ben White, man. For me right now, he's my favorite Arsenal player. He's my favorite Arsenal player at the team right now. And I feel like he just doesn't get as much praise as he deserves. I didn't want him before we got him because I thought 50 million was a ridiculous price for somebody who wasn't better than Saliba. But he's coming. He had a great season last season. I don't care what anybody says. Anyone who watched Arsenal last season, Ben White was one of our top five best performing players last season. This season, somehow Teta approached him about playing right back. And he just said, I'm sure I'll go with it. And he hasn't put a foot wrong at right back all season. He's been the most consistent performer in the team for us this season. And, you know, shout out Ben White, man. What a player. What a player. But I know you want to talk about the refereeing decisions. What did you make of them?
I don't even want to talk about the refereeing. Like, people are just using it as an excuse. I feel like us now, we're going to win that game. I know Liverpool played well, but I just felt like Arsenal were going to win that game. Even though they dominated parts of the game, I feel like in the second half, Thiago and Henderson, they didn't have that same influence.
Mm-hmm.
And when Diaz got injured as well, it just wasn't the same. And then Klopp started making some very strange substitutions. Like, I don't know. He didn't bring on Carvalho when he was chasing the goal.
And then he took off Salah, yeah. Brought on Henderson.
It's very strange.
Played Henderson in the right wing, sorry. It was very strange.
Yeah, I don't know. But before, I think that's kind of where he's at. He's just trying things at this point because now they have injuries to go with it. It's long. It's long.
Before we move on from Arsenal-Liverpool, would you say, in terms of Arsenal, would you say Arsenal are title contenders? Would you say they are certified showing for top four? What would you say about this team?
I would say right now they're definitely a satisfied train for top four, in my opinion. But I think I need to see 5 more games to know if they're title contenders.
So basically, up until the World Cup.
Yeah, basically, from World Cup till then, barring injuries when they come back from World Cup, then we'll know. Because it's nice to think about it now, but there's still so much football to be played.
29 games left to be played.
Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but yeah, they are definitely looking very good and deep. Their rotation is good as well. So obviously, I saw the Bodo Glimt last week highlights. And yeah, Vieira, when he plays as well, he replaces Odegaard beautifully. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think I will consider them as title contenders because they'll keep it going, barring any injuries. People keep on bringing up injuries, but I feel like people are hoping that Jesus gets injured.
That's my point, exactly.
He doesn't have a bad injury record. This is what people are not understanding. I know he doesn't play all the games every season, but he doesn't have a bad injury record. You can see that. An animal, he's a dog. He's not going to stay on the
ground. He got that dog
the treatment. Literally, he's not going to stay on treatment table for too long, 3 months or something. I don't know. People are hoping. I mean, I hate that now. I don't like what is happening, but I've just learned to accept it because if you don't accept it, then you're just lying to yourself.
Culture Camp says, don't lie to your eyes. Yeah.
No, don't lie, because you know what you're seeing.
But for me, I also, because I was watching Gary Neville talk about Arsenal yesterday, and he was like, because previously, this was supposed to be the tough part of the season, right? This was supposed to be the part of the season where we see if Arsenal's credentials are actually what they thought they were. Because we played Liverpool, we're supposed to play Spurs, Liverpool, and City in the league. We obviously got the dub against Spurs, got the dub against Liverpool. And now I watched Overlap and Gary Neville said, he thinks the difficult part of the season is still to come for Arsenal. But same can be said for every team. He was like, we saw it last season. Their mentality or lack thereof was what caused them to miss out on top four. But that's far from the case. Anybody who watches Arsenal or follows Arsenal last year knows that had nothing to do with mentality or lack of preparation. We simply had injuries to key players, and the drop-off in terms of their replacements was what caused the drop-off in quality in terms of their replacements was what cost us a spot in the top four. Partey got injured after the Crystal Palace game that we lost 3-0, and then we go on to lose 3 games in a row. I guarantee if Partey and Tierney are fit for that run, we don't lose to Southampton. We don't lose to, what's the second team we lost to? We lost to Palace, Southampton, and Brighton. I don't think we lose 3 of those games.
And it's the same mentality. They've grown as footballers from then. They're not
Ben White said on Sunday they're a year older. Exactly. Then Ramsdale also said in an interview that they are fooled by what happened at the back end of last season. These players, they are young players. They're going to grow. And even still focusing on the mentality thing, he also said, when you look at the lineup that Arsenal played against Spurs, the game that everyone looked at crashed our season alongside Newcastle, we had a back four of Tavares, Gabriel, Holding, Cedric. And then in front of the midfield was Elneny. Three of those four players I mentioned can't even see a game for Arsenal at the moment. Holding, except Holding, who plays in the Europa League. Cedric is literally turning into a coaching staff before our very eyes, coaching the under-15s. He cannot get a game in the Europa League. Tavares is no longer at Arsenal. Holding, God bless his soul, man. and Elneny.
Well, Tavares is having a good season.
Tavares was having a good season. Sure. I was like, let me keep up with my lone watch. I saw that he had lost possession 100 times in three games. How is that possible? How is that possible?
He got to his head. He thought maybe this league was.
So I'm saying, like, you now you look at the, and everybody keeps saying depth as an excuse for Arsenal. Depth. The fact is, if any team that faces 3, 4, 5 injuries is going to take a toll on their season. If Chelsea,
yeah, when you're saying 3, 4, 5, 3, literally just three. If Chelsea, starters, Chelsea, not just
exactly,
any players,
exactly.
Starters.
Even the, I think the depth thing is overstated. I think the only two players where we lack depth, and not just depth, quality in depth, is right wing and this thing, sixth position. I feel like the loss of Thomas Partey could affect our season badly. But, and then Bukayo Saka as well. But when you look at left-back positions, Zinchenko and Tierney, two borderline world-class left-backs. At right-back, you have Tomiyasu and Ben White. Two of them can also slip in for centre-back anytime alongside Saliba or Gabriel. Look at the midfield. You have Fabio Vieira, you have Odegaard, you have Martinelli, you have Saka, you have
Xhaka.
And then everybody seems to forget that we had Emile Smith Rowe. 10 Premier League goals last season. Coming Reece back from
Nelson.
Injury. And then Nketiah, in my opinion, was our most improved player at Arsenal up until Martinelli took that next step. So I feel like the depth issues are clearly overstated. You see, these are the things I said I wanted to get off my chest.
Yeah, he also improved on the gym.
Exactly.
You've seen that guy this season.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't come to play.
The depth issues are overstated. I think Arsenal are, like, I think they're way better than a lot of people give them credit for. And I'm not here saying, because the goalposts have been moved consistently. Oh, they bottled top four. Oh, they signed a striker who was a backup for no striker at City. Oh, they're only playing small teams. Oh, they failed their first big test. Oh, they win Spurs at home every time. Oh, Liverpool are not in a good run of form at the moment. It's just going to be one excuse after the other.
But these are haters, though. Yeah, you know that these are haters. So there's nothing positive that can come out of their mouth. Whether they might not even believe these things, like they are forcing themselves to believe it because they don't want
that was going to be my point, man. Accept
they don't
it.
Want to accept it.
But moving on from Arsenal, in terms of Liverpool, before we move on from this game, do you think this is like a
wait, before we move on from Arsenal, I was about to say.
You see, your brain is fried.
I was about to say, don't worry, sorry.
Apologies.
This is your fault, though. I'm blaming you.
Apologies. Moving on to Liverpool, would you say this is a blip in the road for them? Or would you say it is like the start of the end for Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp's time?
It's not a blip, like. How many blips do they want this season? I don't get. Like, people, especially Liverpool fans, they keep saying, this is a blip. Klopp is trying new things. Like, are they not seeing what's going on? Like, their players are not playing well anymore. Fabinho is not playing well anymore. Trent is not defending like a normal human being anymore. Van Dijk is fragile. He's confused. I don't get it. Like, are they not seeing all these things? Like, it's not just form.
They did win Rangers 7-1 yesterday, though. That could be the spark that ignites their season.
No, those Scottish teams are like Celtic, they're out, and Rangers is going out very soon. Like, they're not winning anybody in that group. So it's like that. Yeah, that's fun. That's nice to think about, but you need to start winning in Premier League. How many points are you ahead of Liverpool 14, now?
14 points.
14 points. That's exactly my point. 14 points that we played 9 games this season.
So you think this is the start of the end?
I won't say the end, but
not for
definitely...
Not for club, but a bunch of players in this team. And for that, they're like reign of terror that they had alongside City for like 5 years.
Yeah, I think so. It should be, but knowing FSG, they're not going to replace all these guys quickly. It's still going to be slow. Henderson might still play 2-3 more seasons at Liverpool. Salah is probably still going to be their starting right winger next season. I mean, I'm not saying he should lose his spot, but Salah doesn't have meaningful competition.
A lot of people are trying to run agenda on Salah right now. But for me, I just think
it's not just him, it's the whole like
for me.
And I think he tried adjusting their formula, like say formula, yeah, their tactics because of newness.
I think and the it's first, just not working. The first step he has taken towards getting them back on track was bringing back Firmino into the team. And I thought Firmino was finished, but he's having a cracking season so far. He's been by far, far and away Liverpool's best player alongside Luis Diaz. But who is
and Alisson. Alisson, people are taking it for granted that because they keep losing. But
Be worse without Alisson.
That Brighton game, they wouldn't have drawn. They wouldn't have smelted.
Despite what's going on with Liverpool this season, I think Alisson is still clearly the best goalkeeper in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think so. Like, he doesn't... The goals he concedes, and like, I would say, besides the Zambo and Gisa song, why am I saying random words? Besides the Zambo and Gisa goal in Champions League, obviously it was the defensive fault, but I feel like he should have spread himself more. Yeah. But besides that, like, I wouldn't say like any goal he has conceded this season.
For sure, I just think VVD is the one that worries me the most. Worries me more than Trent.
Yeah. Because
the truth is, with regards to Trent, he's never been the greatest defender.
Yeah,
he's just being exposed 10 times more right now because he doesn't have the help he used to have in terms of cover that Henderson used to provide for
him. Henderson, I don't get, like, why does...
He's not present again.
And this is what I mean about changing system, because with that 4-4-2 formation, naturally, Trent can't be covered if you go forward. Because if Henderson tucks in, like with that 4-4-2, it's just going to be an easy route to counter them. Either to the middle or to the right.
Klopp has to be tactically inclined as well. He has to find a way to get rid of this Trent situation. Either find a system that is able to make him continue producing at the level that he was without him being put on his backside on the other side, or bench him or just do something. Because right now, it's not looking good for Trent, Liverpool, or anything. I don't know. Welly keeps telling me it's not the personnel. I want to believe it's not the personnel, but the people they've been, the world-class players they've been relying on recent seasons haven't shown up. VVD for me is way more worrying than Trent because he has not been Virgil van Dijk. He has been Virgil. Doesn't deserve the nickname VVD so far this season. He hasn't been good enough, straight up. I think Konate should replace Matip, obviously. I love Matip. I always used to say Matip was one of the 5 best centre-backs in the Premier League, but he hasn't performed well this season.
I think Van Dijk is like the confidence of the defence, and that's just been taken away from
and with them.
And also, I don't think anybody thinks about this as much. Why doesn't Salah, I don't know if it's part of their system, but when Liverpool is out of possession, Salah doesn't double up as often as he should with Trent. They're always isolating Trent.
But
they're literally
always isolating
Trent.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not reasonable if you know that he's not a good defender.
If you play 4-4-2, you need more help from your wingers to help your fullbacks because your midfielders. But with the 4-3-3 system they used to play, the likes of Wijnaldum and Henderson used to cover for the fullbacks a lot, used to provide cover for the fullbacks. That's why I said Trent's defensive frailties were not fully exposed at the time. But right now, he's getting, especially with
the about this season, like with the switch of the formation where there's not that cover anymore, like natural cover for him anymore. Like, isn't it more reasonable to just double up on both wing backs, especially with Robertson's injury?
I also watched Robertson yesterday as well. I watched Robertson against Rangers yesterday. Robertson with one leg is better than Shoemakers, I must say.
I wouldn't say that.
Bro, Robertson is miles ahead of Shoemakers, bro.
He's better than Shoemakers. Shoemakers is like, I feel like he's good. Like, he puts in actual good crosses. He's not as rapid. Shoemakers is a good backup.
That's all he is.
Yeah, he's a good backup. Yeah, definitely. Trent doesn't have a good backup.
Calvin Ramsey.
He has been injured since the day he walked into Liverpool.
Well, I think he got a, I think he got featured yesterday night. I'm not entirely sure.
Ridiculous
but yeah,
guy.
to answer the question, I don't think it's the end. I think it's a blip. I think there's a solution somewhere for Klopp. He just
the
needs
solution
to find it
is a lot of money. Like, yeah, there's only so much. I feel like there's only so much Klopp can do tactically at this point.
Exactly.
That
World
would
class
help them.
Players.
At best, I feel like if he gets top for this season, this would be a good season for Klopp. And after that, they need to give him a lot.
I also think like what we said last week as well, in terms of phasing players out of the squad, they need to start doing that right now. They need to start the likes of Milner, the likes of Henderson, the likes of probably Matip. I'm not sure.
Matip, yeah.
Konate should be starting consistently
because he's younger. He needs to, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and they need to get a proper right back for Trent and Salah.
Me personally, I think they'll be better off as the season goes on. I actually think they will make top four. Moving on to Man City against Southampton. Erling Haaland, you should be disgraced. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Ashamed? How dare you? How dare you?
This man went a whole half of Premier League football without scoring.
That's disgusting.
45 minutes. God forbid, man. God forbid. But Man City cruised past Southampton. Like, when I say cruise, they cruise. It wasn't even like they were even trying, bro. It wasn't like they were trying.
Why they know cruising past?
It's like they just put their plane on autopilot and they all slept off. De Bruyne.
Hey, I can't believe what I watched when I watched that Man City game against Man. Let's not go back to that.
De Bruyne, 9 Premier League assists in 9 games. Just disgusting. That's just ridiculous. It doesn't even make any sense. How do you have 9 Premier League assists in 9 games? And then you have Haaland, who has 15 Premier League goals in 9 games. Harry Kane has 8 goals in 9 games, but nobody's even talking about how great he's been because of this robot, this absolute... I mean, I don't want to go into
that. Especially in that system as well.
I don't want to go into that, but Haaland,
Foden.
I want to talk about Foden. People were starting to talk a lot of nonsense on his name, but in the past 2 games, he stepped up. He's been absolutely world class.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we want to say about the City team that we haven't said before? They are great. It's boring. If City
is boring,
if City want to make things interesting, they should lose like 4 games in a row. Let's see if they have what it takes to win the league from that position.
Like what the hell? Like this is literally not fair. And Pep, why would he want to leave anytime soon?
Right.
Or like Klopp that people are thinking, nobody's ever thinking about Pep leaving in the next. If this guy stays for 5 more years in Premier League, I'm just going to be a cricket fan.
He's just upsetting, man. He's just upsetting. Because I was talking to a Liverpool fan and he was telling me how he knows Arsenal is really good. Arsenal is really good. I shouldn't get it wrong. He thinks Arsenal is really good. But we just don't have that juice to compete with City. And he was telling me about his pains in 2018-2019 season. He was like, oh, they lost 1 game. I think they drew 4 games. And after that, I think he said they drew to one of those draws to Leicester or West Ham. And City won 16 Premier League games in a row. Half the teams in Premier League don't have up to 16 wins in a season. They won 16 in a row. I don't think United won up to 16 games last season.
Norwich would be happy with 16 wins in 3 seasons.
Let me find out. Last season, Manchester United had 16 wins and finished 6th position. 16. And then...
That's the run they went on.
Bro,
that's
just utterly ridiculous, man. But there's nothing more to say about City, Haaland. I feel like...
Phillips hasn't even been playing this season.
Exactly. Rodri... Bro, I don't even want to get depressed, man. That's just...
It's boring. Like, you said it's boring.
It's
boring. Like, you keep saying the exact same. Wow,
they are
wow.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
Wow.
We should start booing there. But yeah, man, that's it for City. Man United, what a goal from you, Wolvie. what a finish from you would be.
I was actually happy. It was a very weird feeling. I was happy that he scored because he has actually had a very good season. I was happy
very
for
good
him.
Season. Very good. But what did you make of the performance from Man United perspective?
It was good. It was like at the beginning of the game, I was like the first few minutes, Everton, they came out with intensity. And I feel like Casemiro struggled with that, especially because he's the one that lost the ball on the goal.
Struggled with the press.
But then him and the rest of the team, they recovered. Like, they played well. And I'm just sad. Like, I'm missing Tony. I'm missing Martial so much. He assisted Anthony's goal. Like, his build-up play is so important to what Ten Hag wants to do. And it's just sad that he's not fit. It was a good performance, macho performance. I'm happy for Ronaldo. You know, I'm really happy for him. And I hated him at the beginning of the season, but I still don't fully like him, but I'm happy for him.
No, but that's greatness,
right? Personal level.
That's greatness, right?
And it was a good goal. Like, he actually played well when he came on.
He ran back the clock with that goal, man. He ran back the clock with that goal, but...
Yeah.
Just,
and it was Casemiro that gave him the ball. Like, he did... what we bought him to do. He tackled the ball from Gay and immediately gave it through pass to Ronaldo. So, like,
just to focus on Ronaldo before I give my thoughts on Man United through the game. Like, at some point, like, you just need to... Messi fan, Ronaldo fan, Neymar fan, Pele fan, Maradona fan. Sometimes you just need to put aside whatever agenda you have and appreciate greatness. 700 goals
is ridiculous.
700 goals is ridiculous. If you score 45 goals and you have like a 15-year career, you would not have up to 700 goals. 45 goals every year in a 15-year career.
I said Neymar. No. Messi scored 91
goals
in a calendar year. Does that make any sense?
Two of them are not normal. These are 700. Utu, like 700 goals. 700. Did you hear what I said? 45 goals in a 15-year career. Like, from year 1 to year 15, you scored 45 goals. You would not have up to 700 career goals.
And initially, breakdown, he has, like, only 440-something, which is right, like, he has, this guy has 100-something goals with his head in his career. That is ridiculous. And then no, he has, 200 with
Ronaldo,
his left.
Ronaldo has always been my favorite, like, player. I always used to call him the GOAT. I still think he's the GOAT, even though I'm willing to admit, actually, I'm not. But, like, you know, Ronaldo is, Ronaldo is my GOAT. Does that work?
Yeah, thank you.
Ronaldo
thank you.
Is my GOAT. And yeah, I'm just so happy for him. 700 goals. I will say it one more time. 45 goals every year in a 15-year career. You do not have up to 400 goals. And then 700 goals, sorry. And then think about how many players even get to play up to 15 years in their career. A 15-year career in football is borderline unthinkable. Nah, man. Congrats, man.
At the top, a 15-year career. 15-year
at the top. Congrats, man. Congrats, CR. Respect, man. Congratulations. But in terms of the performance itself, I agree with your assessment on Casemiro. I feel like he struggled in the press with the press of Everton. I don't feel like he's a first phase midfielder. He's never been a first phase midfielder. And that's what that was my only critique when United signed him. Even for the goal that he assisted Ronaldo, he initially lost the ball and then won the ball back and then played Ronaldo through on goal. But,
to be fair, like, even there were some passes, like, I don't know if there were some passes that he played first time that broke the press, that broke Everton's press. I think, it was those things that McTominay or Fred is just not going to do. And I'm not saying that he's the best DM in the world anymore, but he's definitely much better than what we have.
I think in terms of your whole game performance, I thought you guys showed the signs of a team who is definitely going through transition. And I think I noticed this with Arsenal last year as well, where you control games, you create chances for like the first 30, 45 minutes, of a game, and then all of a sudden there's just this drop off, and then you invite pressure on on the team. That happened consistently.
No, but what I've liked about Ten Hag is that after the first two games of the season, most of our games we've been clinical with our chances, and when we've scored, we've managed to actually hold on to the win. So
yeah, but that's what
obviously, like, you know, I don't think Ten Hag would be happy
with the last 20 minutes of that Everton game, because to be fair, they were on you guys, they were pressing you.
No, definitely, he definitely wouldn't be. But and then that's at the end of the day, like, he has lessons to teach them from that. And then we got the 3 points.
That's where things like the death by 3,000 passes by Arteta says, you saw it against Liverpool on Sunday from the moment we scored the penalty up until the beginning of stoppage time. It was all those just passing the ball around, those calculated risks, basically killing your opponent off with passes. That's exactly what I think that would be what Ten Hag would want you guys to implement to see out games in the future as your manager. And that's why it's a process. But it's every point you pick up when you're in the process of transitioning as a team, is you can't understate it. So that was a huge win for United. Anthony, 3 goals
in 3 starts. One thing, please. Bruno. Hashtag Bruno.
Bruno Fernandes.
Bruno is one of the most inconsistent footballers I've ever seen in my life. He can't make 2 good passes in a row. That's his main problem.
My only problem with Bruno is for a midfielder, like for the caliber of midfielder he's meant to be, he's so erratic. Like you look at
his decision making is ridiculous.
He doesn't seem composed.
Ridiculous.
He doesn't seem composed at all. Like you look at the likes of Odegaard, like.
You're looking far. His teammate. He has a teammate right behind him now that plays like a normal human. Yes. Just learn from him.
No, I'm saying, like we Odegaard, right? If you watch Arsenal games, especially I see a lot of people saying, oh, they can't wait for Fabio Vieira to overtake Odegaard at the starting 10 or Arsenal. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, because particularly with the type of player that Thomas Partey is, like with how progressive he is, way Odegaard dictates the tempo, keeps things calm, you know, just you touch football to like the death by 3,000 passes that Teta says. That is very critical. He maintains and holds and like sustains build-ups for Arsenal. And Bruno is supposed to be the player to do that for Manchester United. But all he does is spray long passes in the hope that it will reach somebody. And when he comes off,
he looks magnificent. Like when he came.
Would you call him a final set midfielder?
Yes, that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, but there are different
types
of attacking midfielders.
Even his finishing is inconsistent. Like, no, he's a goal scoring type midfielder. He's the type of midfielder that should be on the edge of the box or something. Or picking up like loose balls at the edge of the box, basically.
Like a Ramsey type profile?
Exactly, but with more, I don't know, Ramsey had the type.
Nah, put some respect on Ramsey.
I feel like Bruno had. No, Ramsey's movement is definitely better than, and probably his decision making is better than Bruno. So like, I rate Ramsey. But Bruno is just, and the thing is that they tell him to go forward. That's why Eriksen is playing beside Casemiro or McTominay, is that they tell him to go forward, but he likes to come in deep. I don't know what he's trying to prove. He's trying to do too much when we're trying our best to give him less work to do. It's so confusing.
I think Bruno is more up top than Eriksen, because Eriksen seems better, more composed in terms of your build up, right? Because like we said, Casemiro is not necessarily a first phase player, so Eriksen can help out in terms of playing out from the back, which we all know Ten Hag wants to. Mm-hmm. And with Bruno, he's just when as an attacking midfielder. And as the supposed final third demon he's supposed to be, when everything you're trying is not coming off, or he only comes off once in 10 tries, it's going to be extremely frustrating for the fans, for the coach, and for everybody to watch.
Especially right now when we're not like having as many chances as we would like, and we need to be more clinical. You can't be doing things like that. Like, he's like, sometimes just calm down and think. Like, that's what I just want him to do. But he's like, nah, I have technique. I can make this 5,000 yards.
So you're saying before Bruno passes, sprints, passes to Rashford, he goes, no, I have technique. I have technique.
That's exactly what he thinks. That's exactly, like, word for word, I have technique. I can do this.
Nah, but, I mean, these questions like these is what questions like these are what Ten Hag is going to be posed with and what he has to answer in order to implement his style of play in Man United. Like, Teta had to get rid of Aubameyang, had to get rid of Ozil, had to get rid of practically the whole squad except like five players. So with Ten Hag, maybe Bruno has to, he has to get rid of Bruno. Maybe. Who knows? I'm not sure.
See, the thing is that I don't mind Bruno being a rotation player. I don't want him to be starting every week.
I think Bruno would like to be a rotation player. But yeah,
that's big business. That's, if he doesn't want to, then he can leave. That's fine.
Big
and the thing about Manu, we need to be buying young players like Ateta. Ateta, Vieira is not complaining being behind Odegaard. Because he knows that he's not better than Odegaard, especially not right now. And Bruno knows that he's not better than Eriksen, but he'll still be complaining if we bench him because he's old.
The rant of an angry United fan. But yeah, big
win. And I'm meant to be happy. I mean, we're winning. Like, this guy is just a frustrating human being.
Big win. Huge win for Man United. And I think we touched on Potter ball against Wolves.
And AC.
I'm telling you, that project in Chelsea is looking scary.
It's ridiculous. No, it's actually ridiculous.
The project is looking scary.
He has all we need. This is not Brighton Potter with Mopey,
bro,
and Gross.
Bro, Aubameyang is coming to life, starting to score goals again. By the way, Aubameyang, you know what? Let me not even get into that video. He has apologized anyway, so I'll just move on in it. But that embarrassing, bro. Pathetic. Oh, so
why
pathetic.
Why is a footballer doing an interview with a jewelers? Like, have you ever heard of that in your life?
Bro, don't even, bro. I don't want to get into that, but Potter ball is looking scary right now, man. I can't even lie. They're looking valid. They're looking valid. The great win against Wolves. Their first big, their best big test. I think their first big test is up against Arsenal, November 6th. Because according to Chelsea fans, if you're not winning against top six opposition, the win doesn't count. So I'm pretty sure they didn't get 3 points.
Why are they lying? Like, they weren't watching Gutter football against
no, no, that's what they were saying about us now.
They've seen Harry Potter. Now they've seen Harry Potter. Nah, they're seeing magic on the pitch.
And then people are saying
they're happy.
Well, what your opinion is on Amanda Broha quickly, because people are saying he's the next Diego Costa. That's what Chelsea fans are dubbing him.
They should calm down. I read Bruno highly. I think he's definitely going to be very good, but he has to play more games. He's like, Aubameyang is on form right now, so he has to outperform him. He has to play. This is what I don't like about football fans these days. Like, come on, Diego Costa was a consistent performer in Premier League. You can't be calling Bruno against.
I'm also here to raise my hand and wave the white flag. Rich James is a better player than Trent Alexander-Arnold. I love Trent. I don't like what's happening to Trent right now. I don't like maligning his name, but Rich James is he's different level.
He's next level.
He's Chelsea. Chelsea is Rich James as of right now.
He's definitely going to be their captain.
As of right now.
He's not going anywhere.
Big up Mason Mount. Mason Mount has had a couple of good performances under Potter. Yeah. I think he played well in the two games against Milan, and he played well against Wolves as well.
Mount is Potter's McAllister. Like, the way Potter used McAllister, it was a free role, but he gave it to the most technical and most, like, versatile player in the midfield, and that's exactly what he's doing with Mount. But obviously, this is what I'm saying, like, Potter is doing the exact same thing he did at Brighton. but with much better players and a full squad that he can rotate plus money that he's going to get in the transfer windows. That is ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
it's terrifying. Hey, man. To see.
We could be. We could be on our way to all time. So.
Is now his replacement, former Champions League manager. Like, this is the height of Premier League right now.
We could be on our way to old times right now, man. We could potentially be seeing, hopefully, when that bald guy leaves. We could be seeing.
I keep forgetting when I'm thinking that. I keep, like, because if Chelsea should meet Man City, this is not going to be Harry Potter.
Hopefully, when that
sorry blues.
When the bald guy leaves, we could be seeing like title races of, you know, Arsenal, United, and Chelsea.
Just like the old days. Just with hope. Just because of hope. Let's fling Tottenham inside.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Let me just have some Tottenham. I like expression.
They've never been part of the title race.
That's
a perfect segue into Tottenham because my word, they're the worst team to watch in the world.
It's booming out here.
Yeah, the worst team to watch in the world. I thought they were totally dominated by Brighton, especially after the Brighton conceded the goal. But that low block, oh god of low blocks, did you see that low?
Like, I don't, how can your tactic to play football be to tell the other team, take the ball? Like, just have it.
And people were
saying,
Tottenham control possession, Tottenham control games by giving teams the ball. What?
that's the literal, like, that's the opposite of all controlling a game. You're giving the ball to them. Like, anything can happen when they are in possession of the ball. You're giving the ball to them because you don't have footballers that
capable. Not anything can happen with that low block I saw against Brighton on Saturday.
They should do that against Man City.
When they play against the higher quality sides, like what Chelsea, how Chelsea played against them, what Arsenal did against them, and what.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So, what's the point if you're a top 16 qualifying, like going for Champions
League? That's what I'm saying.
And trophies. You can't be what, playing
that's why I say
like
I don't
that.
See, especially in the long run, it's not sustainable as well because you look at the game against Brighton on Saturday. Brighton were peppering Tottenham, creating chances. Okay, they didn't create any clear cut chances. But because of the low block, but they were going at Tottenham, like Tottenham were on the back foot, and then all of a sudden they clear the ball gets to Son, and from the edge of the box, jumps inside left foot top corner. And like, it didn't count because ultimately Son was offside, but in other circumstances, that would have been the dagger, and it would have been 2-0, game over. And a game which Brighton dominated from possibly start to finish and feel like they deserved more from, the ball strikers in terms of Kane and Son have gotten them 3 points. That's why they were able to run the agenda and say, on another day, they would have won Arsenal. But the truth is, 10 minutes of possession is not enough. 10 minutes of good
enough.
Possession.
And Emerson Royal!
He didn't play the other day, though.
I don't care. Like, he's ridiculous.
I like Doherty though. Doherty and Sessegnon played very well. They both played very well. Bentancourt played well.
I feel
well.
Bad for Kane though.
Son,
Kane
had
is
a good
so good
game.
On the ball. He needs to be around players that are more confident in possession.
Kane had a good game. Son, not so much. Son has been horrible all season. And like I said, he was horrible all game. And then he gets one chance at the edge of the box with the left foot and calls into the third. Like, you can see why they go with this model because it breeds a level of success for them. But against the top teams, it's going to be hard.
Like, it's not, you can't, this is luck. Like,
did you watch the game?
You know the thing I hated
The Brighton game. Did you watch the Brighton game?
Yeah, I watched the Brighton.
Did you see the Son's goal that I'm talking about?
No, I don't, the one
that was ruled out for offside. God have mercy on my soul. Brighton were literally on them, and then they get the ball, go long, and Son just nonchalantly curls it with his weak foot into the top corner from 25 yards.
No, but that's the thing. Like, his finishing is ridiculous.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Like,
they have
just doesn't have
elite
an
world class
on the game.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can't compare someone like Jesus, like his influence and Son's influence, like game in, game out. But Son will have more goals. He might have more goals this season than Jesus. And people will be saying that, but look at the stats.
Brother, I'm still
so but, I know that, like, I don't, like, this thing would always plague me for the rest of my life. I don't understand professional managers that think that it is okay to have the power to be in possession more, but to willingly go out and go against wanting the ball.
Just say the person's name on your mind. Say the person's name on your mind.
This guy even catch Simeone even catch Simeone even catch you.
Oh my god. Yeah, but that's
it's fine. It's okay.
That's it for Premier League results this weekend. Let's look at some of the Champions League results. Juve got absolutely touched, bro. They got touched. I can't even remember the name of the team they played against, but it was some next team.
Maccabi Haifa.
They got touched, and I'm like...
Yeah, needs to go, man.
Vlahovic, hold that! Hold that! Vlahovic,
oh, wow.
Vlahovic, hold that. Locatelli, you two, hold that. Hold that.
To be fair, I don't think Vlahovic should have had as much of an influence as Jesus, because he doesn't link, he just wants to score.
That's a narrative for him to hold that.
And Allegri, he just wants to score. And
no,
Allegri
is a criminal.
Anti-chance creation.
Allegri is a criminal.
He's strongly anti-chance creation.
Allegri
well.
Is a criminal. Allegri is a criminal. Allegri is a criminal. He's evil. He's up there with the likes of
In training, he tells his players, "Yes, you're talented in attacking. What does that have to do with practice? What does that really have to do with what
you,
I want to
you
do?"
Will call Locatelli over and be like, "Next time you play at that through ball, okay? You will see.
You will see any game."
But nah, Juve have looked absolutely horrible all season. I think they're seventh in Serie A. It's been awful. PSG drew 1-1 with. Did you see the finish for Mbappe's disallowed goal?
No.
My word.
But have you seen that guy again? This guy, even what's his name? Here we go. Fabrizio posted about it that Mbappe wants to leave.
I mean, I saw that. I saw the...
Yeah, and it's official. Like, you know, it's not even a rumor. Like, Fabrizio literally reported on it that he's putting pressure on PSG to leave, that their relationship...
I feel like Mbappe is behaving like someone who's never been told no in his life, and he's putting himself basically above the team, because this PSG team has every chance to go out there and win their first ever Champions League trophy.
Else does he need? And it's not even that they have it, like, they're literally playing well this
Messi
season.
Is playing
Messi
like the best
and
player
Neymar.
In the world
Messi,
right now.
Messi and Neymar, they are on, like, the best form they've been in in how many years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not Messi, but Neymar.
Neymar.
And they are clicking, like, what can you be?
He's
saying that he wants to play with a pivot. This is the thing that he puts a pivot guy.
But then
he wants to be playing, he would rather play with Olivier Giroud than Messi and Neymar. Like, come on, he just wants to complain about something.
He just needs to put he's putting himself ahead of the team, and that's so it's just not going to work. This man, they gave him a $300 million bonus, and he signed a new contract.
The guy
worth,
is earning
God knows
900. He's earning 900k a week. A week.
900k a week.
900k a week.
Wow.
With his bonuses, guy. Like, how can you be so obsessed?
PSG is partly to blame as well.
Did you say partly?
Partly, because...
Partly.
I get they didn't want to lose... Because they paid, 129 million for Mbappe. So they didn't want to lose their investment. 129? No.
Yeah, come on. They paid 129 million for him and then gave him 300
million.
That's
what I'm saying. They didn't want to lose that investment for free. Especially, but in doing so, they have given him so much power. I don't know if he's gone power crazy or What if
No,
I
but it's
just.
not, it can't just be investment at this point, because if you're saying that they could have lost him and that would have been 139 million gone, but now plus the 300 million plus his
Yeah, but
salary,
nobody envisaged that he was going to.
that's
Nobody
almost 450, that's like 450
foresaw
million in
that.
total.
No one foresaw that he was going to up and decide to leave in what, 24 hours after he signed the contract.
What is wrong with him?
I mean, I have no idea, man. We'll see. We will see as time goes on. I see a lot of United fans.
When you have the French president, when
I
you
see
have
a
the
lot of
French
United
president
fans.
coming to talk to you about your contract, yeah, it can get to your head.
I see a lot of United fans saying stuff about Mbappe coming to United. Don't dream, bro. Don't
It,
dream.
bro. Like, come
Stop.
on.
So, but
He
with the
was going last minute winners to Omonia
rest of the Champions League results, I think Chelsea were splendid against Milan, not just in this game, but both legs. They
Nicosia. Yeah,
played them
both
off the
like
park. Tomori's red card was.
criminal. That is horrible. That guy just wanted to be on the newspaper.
Terribly horrible, but I mean, nothing surprises me with these refs again. Rudiger, shout out Rudiger for going to, hope he gets well soon. Shout out Rudiger for the goal he scored.
I saw a
Rangers,
video about that. Big up Toni Kroos, man. Big up Toni Kroos.
that they
That guy
pass.
at his age, not just the past, before Rüdiger went up, he's the one that told Rüdiger to go.
And
And then he gave the ball right
to be
to
fair,
Rüdiger
I've been
from
watching a
there.
little bit of La Liga in terms of Barcelona and Real Madrid. I'm watching Madrid in Champions League as well. Kroos has been one of the top five performing with midfielders in the world this season.
Kroos has the most passes in the world this
I mean,
season with
I'm not surprised.
96%
I'm not surprised.
accuracy.
Though he went
He
three
has the
years.
most passes, most long balls, most pass completion rate.
He went 3 years. I think he went 20, 2015, 2016, 2017. All none of them less than 95% pass completion rate. So I'm really not surprised at this point. But big
Ridiculous.
up
Like Real
Kroos.
Madrid have Real Madrid are
And
in a very
I heard
strong
they want to get
position.
Bellingham as well. Great.
Yeah.
Have you seen
Bellingham,
any
Camavinga, Tchouaméni is
and
just rude.
Federico
Is a
Valverde?
slap. Is a slap to our faces.
Have I forgotten any Champions League results? We've spoken about Liverpool.
Yeah.
City did not score. Wow. Haaland was on the bench. Haaland was on the
Haaland
bench,
didn't play. But
but
Mahrez
City did not
is a
score.
criminal.
Mahrez
Mahrez, he has blood on his hands in that game.
but I think that's all for the Europe Champions League results, Europa League.
Ooh, Barcelona. Barcelona.
Bas, thank you. Thank you. What's the name of
Barcelona.
that? What's the name of that clown that did not square the ball?
Aslani. Aslani.
That's the one
After
Lukaku
that, I
said.
saw a video. Yeah, he said, I like
Lukaku
his
said, "I like his
mentality, you know? I
mentality."
like the, just watch. He'll be big. He'll be big. Don't worry.
Oh
I like
yeah,
that.
we actually need to
If
touch upon
Lukaku tells
that.
you that he likes your mentality, you should retire. You
We need
should
to touch upon
resign from
that.
football.
Barcelona might end up in the Europa League.
They should have, if not for that, just
Yeah,
pass.
but then they
Like,
have to
come
win by they
on.
have to get a result at Bayern for them to stay in
Bayern, yeah,
Europa.
literally. They need to win or draw and hope that Inter doesn't get a draw or win at Bayern. And Inter, the thing about them is like, yeah, they play counter-attacking football, but when they're actually on the ball, they play well with it. Like, they don't just launch it up and hope or just kick it. Because their players are not even that fast, so they actually have to pass the ball
Lautaro dropped
properly.
a classic yesterday. Terrible.
Lautaro. No,
Lautaro
but Eric
dropped.
Garcia, like, this guy's defense is shambolic to say the least. Barcelona, like, they still have so many holes that they need to fix in there. Eric
I don't
Garcia
think Araujo will play
and
yesterday,
Pique.
though.
Eric Garcia and Pique should obviously Araujo and
Koundé.
Koundé are their best options, but like when they're out, their whole defense is
Bro.
nothing literally. Because we saw
I don't know
Pique
if you
come
saw
on
what
and
PK did
Eric
yesterday,
Garcia.
but
I saw
PK, it's time to hang up the boots,
it.
man. It's time to hang him up, bro. It's time to hang him up. But what a game, though. Lewandowski said, "I'm not going Europa League, bro." But inside, Aslani, bro, how do you not square the
This
goal
guy
with
is
Aslani?
so upset. Inzaghi, if he doesn't qualify, because I don't. When was the last time Inter qualified for knockouts?
It's time ago.
It's been a while, yeah. Like, if he doesn't qualify because of Aslani, I'll blame Lukaku. I'm not even blaming Aslani. I'm blaming, like, he has been talking to him in training.
Aslani should have squared that ball, man, 1,000%. But that was a great game of football. Luciano Spalletti and Napoli. Good gracious God. Them lot, they are balling out. They're playing champagne football.
Most goals in Serie A, most goals in Champions League.
What's 77's name again? I can't pronounce his name.
Kvicha Kvaratskhelia.
That he's a baller.
He
He's a
is
baller.
ridiculous.
He's a baller. To think they got him for a cut price, ridiculous.
He got him for less than a mil.
Yeah, because of you got him from a Ukrainian team.
They got him a second division in Ukraine. Who, like, how do you find that out?
Bro, that's and then Napoli started doing well as soon as they let go of Mertens and Insigne as well.
Oh, yeah, no, the thing about Napoli is, like, people thought this was bad, but I was thinking about, like, this, they're losing players and getting, and the thing is that they actually replaced them. They didn't just lose them. They replaced them with young, hungry players, and it actually helped them a lot. Like, because Zambo, he didn't have that much of an influence in them last season. He was playing more defensive because they had Fabian. But now he's more on the ball.
It's the same thing
Raspadori
we're
came into
saying.
the team, then Simeone,
It's the same thing we're saying
Osimhen is
about.
more fit this season.
Same thing we're
Obviously,
saying about Liverpool.
Kvaratskhelia came.
Same thing we're saying
They've been
about
really good.
Liverpool. How Liverpool failed to weed out the players. Phase out the players that needed to be phased out and replace them with people who are going to keep
Exactly.
the hunger going for this thing, more trophies. But big up Napoli, man. They've had a splendid season so far. Like I couldn't say this before that. I couldn't say to myself before that, let's sit down and watch a game like Napoli's game. But right now, they won the
No,
league.
but last season as well, they played very well. They just fell off towards the ending of the season. But I think at the beginning of the season, they won their first 12 games unbeaten last season. So, like, they've been playing very good football. It's just that now they got the right, like, they got their change at the perfect time. The thing about Liverpool now is that now Liverpool, they need to replace players. The thing about phasing out players, they need to start getting new players with the old. And then getting them to play with the system, then phasing the old out with the new. Like, you can't just replace them
Typical
because that will now
example is
take years. Yeah,
Fernandinho.
like, it's
Fernandinho with Man
ridiculous.
City, how Rodri came in, was phased into the system, and Fernandinho was able to lead them
Exactly,
last season.
exactly.
Yeah, so
And
big
him
up.
and Phillips are playing beside each, like, not beside each other, but they're on the same team in training and stuff like that. And when Phillips starts playing, you're going to carry those same traits over. Like, it's just.
But so
Ah,
yeah, but big up
man.
Napoli, they're having a great season. Onto the Europa League. Arsenal 1-0 against Bodo Glimt. Not a boring game. Shout out Matt Turner though. He had a great game. He's actually better than I thought he was. Saka
You were good.
doing up numbers. I respect it. Yeah, but there's not really much to say from Arsenal's game or group. A win against PSV next week will all but ensure that Arsenal finished top of the group, but it's not gonna be easy. That PSV is not a joke. They're no joke.
And they're playing very well.
Yeah, I don't know if they won today.
No, was he? I think it was. Yeah, I think they won.
I didn't check. I was supposed to check. Oh wow, they won 5-0 again.
Yeah,
Crazy.
Gakpo and Simmons are just having fun
Yeah,
with those
they
guys.
won 5-1 last week, and then they won 5-0 today. To be fair, Zurich is not.
Yeah, they're not, but
Yeah,
like they're playing good
they have
football.
0 points in the league, but they're playing good football. It's going to be a really good game next week between PSV and Arsenal. I'm not looking forward to it.
That's easy.
I'm really not looking forward to it.
Just make sure you don't over-rotate. That's all I have to
For
say.
sure, for sure, bro.
Unless somebody has to play right that right back.
A win against them next week will all but will to definitely see us as qualifiers, like to the next round. But a win and a draw away, we'll finish top of the group. So yeah, good times for Arsenal, good times for Napoli, good times for Man United, good times for City, good times for Chelsea, horrible times for Liverpool. Man United also got the winner in the 92nd minute against Nemanja today. What a McTominay with the goal. Yeah. But that's it from us today, man. Thank you for coming on the show, Udwag. Thank you for your opinions. We'll be back on Monday to give you, actually, before we go, predictions, Man City Liverpool.
3-1. 3-0. 3-0.
3-0.
3-0. No.
3-0 City.
3-1. Yeah. 3-1 City.
2-0. 2, actually, 3-2 Liverpool.
3-2 Liverpool. Haaland pop. Oh, I'm being nice. I'm being gentle. If Van
3-2.
Dijk continues doing what he's doing,
3-2.
you wait.
If anything, I need Liverpool to win so that
Alisson cry real
I need
tears
Liverpool
that
to win so at
weekend.
least there can be small gap between us and Man City at the double table. But 3-2 Liverpool, man. Mo Salah, come do your thing. Come on.
He needs to pick up from soon. At least he's not going for World Cup, so won't be
Yeah.
injured.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Highline Podcast. Thank you for coming back, Udwag. Make sure to check us out on all podcast streaming platforms. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Cool Network. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to listen to not just the Highline, but the Highline Podcast, the Courtcast, the Release Podcast, whatever you see there. Just click and play, whether you like it or not. Thank you.
Exactly.
Have a lovely day. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.